gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know. I'm a Twitter tease.
Yes.
I'm a tweezer. I've been teasing. There'll be a very special guest on the show in the first hour on Thursday.
Yep.
Who could it be? Oh, it's a very special guest. You won't believe how special. All right. When should we say? Next hour?
Yeah, we'll tell you next
hour. It's very exciting. You know what else is exciting?
What?
We have $50 gift certificates for Sherry's Berries for the best phone calls today.
That's right.
Berries.com. Click on that and type in Stephanie if you're ordering those delicious berries.
Yep.
And for the best calls today, 1-800-STEP-12. We got a couple of free ones. For your mommy or whatever.
Or for yourself.
All right.
If you're hungry.
I apologize if you inadvertently saw me on the Ed Show last night because the hair and makeup guy didn't show up. And that is not a happy thing for a woman of my advanced years. Apologize. People might have been like, oh, look, honey, Stephanie's going to... Oh! What?
So if you're going to watch it, it's better to do it on the standard definition channel, not on the high
def.
Oh,
dear God.
No.
Yes. Uh-uh. All right. I got a plug-in, though, for the Sexy Liberal Tour, which is explodicating all over the country. Syracuse up next. Here we go.
Warning. The Department of Liberal Comedy has just issued a statement raising the laugh alert level for Syracuse, New York to code orange.
John Boehner. Not a color that appears in the natural world.
In an effort to protect the public from the side effects of John Boehner's curious orange hue.
You mean I'm going to stay this color?
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show has been dispatched to Syracuse, New York, home of the real orange men.
When are we going to stand up and take him on?
On Saturday, May 14th, at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater. Join Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and Stephanie Miller for an evening of perfect progressive brilliance and non-stop laughter.
That's at the top of our list.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the On Center Krause Heinz Theater in Syracuse, May 14th. It's the only antidote to John Boehner's orange for the orange.
Hello, yes, thank you. All right. And don't forget to drive up from Ithaca and say, hello, I'm from Ithaca. I'd like to purchase several tickets to the sexy thing.
The sexy thing?
Yes. We're getting together with the marriage equality people, the anti-fracking folks. I picture a big dance-along at the end of the show to Baby, I Was Born This Way.
Whatever.
It's become like ABBA.
ABBA.
Yeah, sure. Also, just announced yesterday, Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th. We're trying to get some buses together going even over from Asheville, some party buses.
Sweet.
Figuring all this out as we speak, but they go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Tickets flying out the door for that one as well, as Boston, Saturday, July 16th. At the Wilbur Theater, ladies and gentlemen.
More dates to be announced very soon.
Oh, you have no idea. Burning like a rash. Eric in Ohio writes, Steph, I just watched you and Hal demonstrate teabagging on YouTube.
Oh, dear.
Excuse me, I need to take a cold shower. You go ahead, Eric. We'll all wait here.
We'll be posting that picture up on...
I forgot about the internet. We're doing a public service. A lot of people don't still know exactly what it is. I didn't. You had to show me on the interweb.
Sure.
Jody in Madison. Hi, Steph. I thought you might like this picture of you and Hal doing your teabagging demo on the Sexy Liberal page. There you go. She sent it along.
Mm.
That's a still of that. You might want to have framed.
Your mama would be so proud.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I just realized that's when you know it's bad. I was embarrassed to, because, you know, we get lots of really amazingly kind comments on the Facebook.com/sexyliberal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I can't send this to my family because they, they can see clips and teabagging and I.
Whatever.
Okay. Just nobody tell them.
Are you going to demonstrate that in Durham for your mother?
I don't. You know what? I'm going to tell my mom the wrong date. So that.
Oh.
All right. Justin in Madison says, Mama, just want to thank you for the awesome show. I'm the gay redhead you pulled on stage with you after the 10 p.m. show when you started slapping my ass. That was kind of the best moment of my life. Why, you're welcome, Justin. You're a bad boy.
Hmm.
Justin got a little spanking. All right. And one last one. Wendy in New Hampshire. I was talking about the Cialis commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that guys doing chores, like that happens.
Yeah.
And I just said, guys, if you hold my laundry basket, I'll... you. So Wendy writes, Staff, this morning you said you'd have sex with a man holding your laundry basket. Great. Now my husband's going to want to bring a laundry basket to the show in Boston. I'm also pretty sure he's not the only man who just sat up with a glint in his eye planning to bring his laundry basket to the show. So thanks. I look forward to being one of the thousands of couples in Boston on July 16th, dining before the show trying to figure out where to stash the damn laundry basket. bring your own laundry basket. All right. Kids, you know what? He couldn't make it yesterday. I know it's Tuesday. It's all cattywampus, but it's still time to be rude.
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning. I love being able to say I was there at the beginning of the sexy liberal train.
That's right. You were on the train in New York, the experimental version.
Yes. I feel so hip.
Yeah, I think your rudeness has permanently rubbed off on the show. Thanks. I don't know what it's spending too much time around you that I felt the need to demonstrate teabagging. All right. It's rudeness. I always look forward to, particularly around religious holidays, it's that email you get from the Family Research Council?
Yes, our prayer target. Every week, our prayer target that we get that we have to pray.
The things that, you're told to, there's an Easter prayer. You've been asked to pray because of the sinful activities of the White House's Easter prayer breakfast.
Yes, the Easter prayer breakfast, because there were clergy who don't hate gays there.
Yes. Yes, yours read, yesterday President Obama hosted an Easter prayer breakfast for 130 clergy men and women, among them clergy from homosexual and pro-homosexual denominations. Eek!
I would like to know what the difference is between a homosexual denomination and a pro-homo... Are there just gay denominations?
I don't know.
Are there the swishy Protestants? I mean...
Apparently any group that does not support, what's going on in Uganda, apparently, is just too pro-homosexual for their taste, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and, there was one person there who they say was considered a forerunner in shaping homosexual theology.
Oh, yikes.
That would be the God does not hate gay people theology.
Oh, I see. It's homosexual theology. I didn't even know there was a branch of that.
Yeah. Well, there's sub-studies in every ology that involve gay people.
Yes, all right. So you did a series of posts on the BP oil spill 1 year later. I thought there were some good suggestions on ways to celebrate the anniversary. You say dangle your aura over a bear trap.
Oh, dear.
Naughty bits.
Yeah.
Drop ping pong balls emblazoned with BP's logo on the bear trap. When someone points out this is a bad idea, tell them what you're doing is perfectly safe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance the bear trap won't snap right onto your naughty bit.
Yeah. Oh, come on. What are the chances? Oh! Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but here's the deal is that, if that 1 in a million chance a ping pong ball does set off the bear trap, the result is pretty horrible.
Yes. Point taken. Your next suggestion is take a... in the corner of your boyfriend or girlfriend's kitchen, smear it around. When you're cleaning up, toss some bleach on it and declare it clean. When your boyfriend complains that you still left on the floor, tell him the corner was pretty dirty to begin with. Once again, very, I think it's a descriptive way to sum it up.
It's just a way through our own personal lives that we can actually partake in the activities that BP did to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes. Yes. It's what Jim's always been talking about, the Corexit. It's like that orange powder that they threw on vomit in grade school that made it actually smell worse. It was like Parmesan cheese on top of it. And then they're that's fine now.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Thank you for that flashback now. I'm getting a whole sense memory going here.
Yeah. An olfactory memory.
The show comes in scratch and sniff now.
That's beautiful. And then they would sweep it up and just, oh, God. Yeah. Thank
you. All it did was make it chunky enough to sweep up.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Your next suggestion, fill a bathtub with water, put in one drop of WD-40 and one drop of chemical dispersant. Ask your best friend if she wants to bathe her baby. Very nice. And then the last one, build a treehouse out of balsa wood, invite the neighborhood kids over, charge them to use it, and then step back and watch the fun. Which, it's all good analogies for what happened in the Gulf.
Yeah, and then recently there was just another oil spill, a smaller one you didn't hear about, that coated Grand Isle, Louisiana again.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we don't hear about that. We don't hear that. And then, and I was in the Gulf of Mexico last week. I literally in the Gulf of Mexico for a good chunk of the time, and came across a few tarballs.
Wow.
In Florida. I mean, but you know, hey, it's the price you pay. It is the price you pay for our dependence on every kind of filthy fuel that we can imagine.
Mm-hmm. You know, you actually write great stuff about the human cost of this that people forget, you know, the people that died on the rig. And, you know, I didn't even realize this, that last July, as you write, despite opposition from the Chamber of Commerce and the apparently powerful cruise line lobby, a bill allowing survivors of Deepwater Horizon and their families to sue for punitive damages passed the then Democratic House overwhelmingly, but of course the bill died in the Senate, as everything did. Jim DeMint, the Republican, of course, opposed even allowing an investigation into the accident. He placed a hold on it, and that's what happened to that bill, correct?
Yeah, and I didn't even realize the Death on High Seas Act, which is this 1920 law that says that that you can't sue for anything more than actual damages. So anything that happens, whether it's on a cruise ship or an oil rig that happens on the seas, you can't go for punitive or other kinds of damages. So all that BP has to do then for the workers that died is pay their salaries up until their retirement date, which is fine, but that's not even a drop in a bucket. That's a drop in an ocean for BP.
You speculate that one day the children of Louisiana will call animal sodomy a deminting.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Don't go out to the barn and get your deminting on.
Yes. Now, you also say they're trying it again, of course, with a less friendly House, this bill, where, as you say, no Republican feels safe in voting for anything that might harm a corporation and help workers, where the idea of punishing a company for murder is ludicrous. That's crazy. Why would you do that?
No, because that might in some way cut into their profits, you know, might cut into the, we might have to actually get money from a corporation because certainly we're not getting it from them in taxes.
Yep. Now, I don't know if you're paying attention to the 2012 Republican presidential field, but there's one out of the clown car already. Haley Barbour has gotten out of the clown car and taken off the clown shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to miss that voice that makes me feel like I'm Ned Beatty trying to get away in the woods.
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, really? Is our first black president going to have to run against Buford Busser? Because
that would have been incredible, though, to have that. And as I've always said, he sounds like Foghorn Leghorn,
yeah.
Gargling testicles.
I'll say. Yeah, I think he actually would say it. I'll say what's the matter with you, boy? And then it'd be a huge scandal because he just called the president, you know.
Yeah, you know, considering his, mm-hmm. you know, his passive support for the KKK, and as well as...
As long as if it's not active, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right. As long as he's not condemning...
Yeah.
As long as he's not,
ladies and gentlemen, today's Republican Party. This race is down in Orange County that sent the email with the president's face superimposed on a chimp.
Yeah.
She's not resigning. Doesn't get why that was racist even. And then my favorite part of it is another person, Republican down there said, well, I think we should have used this as a teaching moment. Wait, really? How many Republicans need to be taught that's not okay?
Wait, she said that this is a teaching moment?
Yeah.
What? Did she get taught? So, but she learned nothing. If there's a teaching moment, there has to be a recipient on the other end getting taught.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were saying that they should have used it for the Republican Party in general down there. This should have been an instructional video.
They should have sent out a memo saying
what,
hey, could we just knock off on the Obama chimp and Michelle Obama ape stuff?
Yeah.
Could you stop forwarding that around?
Yeah, in some circles, that scene is vaguely racist. Maybe ease up.
Or at least check your email forward list to make sure there's nobody on there that might find that offensive.
Yes,
right.
That's overly sensitive. That's hysterical in some way about things.
Right. Please confirm that only your racist friends are getting it.
Exactly. Lee Papa, his rudeness. See you Monday on your usual day.
All righty.
Bye, honey. There he goes.
Yay.
RudePundit.blogspot.com. 20 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
I'm riding in your car. turn on.
Stephanie Miller.
I say I don't like.
Stephanie Miller.
But you know I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Ooh, fire.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 27 minutes after the hour. All right. That fancy law firm that was costing the taxpayers a bundle?
Yes.
Because fiscal conservative John Boehner hired them to defend the indefensible, inconstitutional Defense of Marriage Act?
That's right.
They quit.
Yep.
All right. We will talk to Ian Millhiser. He's a legal animus, you know, from the Center for American
Policy
Progress.
Policy animus.
Well, he's got some animus, too. Particularly wasting taxpayer money on ridiculous defenses. Okay, so we will talk to him across the bottom of the hour here in just a couple of minutes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Catherine in Tucson on Representative Gabrielle Giffords. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, the person who almost beat Gabrielle Giffords last time around, Jesse Kelly, it was the margin was like 400 or 450 votes.
Yeah.
Has already announced that he is running for office again next time around against her. And the reason is because she hasn't been able to show up.
Nice.
She hasn't shown up for any of the House of Representatives sessions.
Nice timing. Nice timing. Right. Yeah, nice timing right in time for her to be able to go watch her husband's shuttle launch on Friday, which is obviously,
beautiful.
Yeah, a happy moment for everybody.
We need the Stephanie Miller show here because I was in Marana, Arizona yesterday, and there is actually a Tea Party flag flying on the at the Marana Airport on the same level as the Arizona flag because Jan Brewer signed the Tea Party, the bill allowing the Tea Party flag to be this important as the Arizona state flag.
But you know what? We'll have to get a sexy liberal show flag, and maybe it'll be us demonstrating teabagging on a flag. Maybe we could do that still from the show. All right. Thank you, Catherine. Yeah, that is very happy news about. Is it me? Am I the only one that's worried? I'm like, are they sure? Are the doctors sure it's okay for her to fly? Oh, I worry about pressure on her brain and whatever, but it's a happy moment that she's able to go watch her husband because that's a big deal.
Right. And, you know, she flew from Tucson to Houston.
Yeah. So. I heard our buddy Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday just saying she just has more grit than anybody she knows, you know. All right. So, that's nice. That's nicely done, Jesse Kelly. 29. Classy with a K.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour. Ian Millhiser next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
They give out awards for radio ads, right?
Well, they better. We worked on this for well over an hour.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What? Why are you looking at me? I'm prepared.
Are
I'm talking
sure?
to an important legal animus now.
A policy analyst.
Exactly.
Yes.
From the Center for American Progress, our buddy, our pal, Ian Millhiser, joins us now. Hi, Ian. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
Indeed. Good to have you back. Well, let's talk about, I love in the midst of this whole budget fight and fiscal conservatism and we've got to stop spending money. So John Boehner hires this, like, fancy law firm to defend the indefensible, unconstitutional Defense of Marriage Act.
I think my memory's been having trouble lately because, you know, I thought Speaker Boehner almost shut down the government because he said that we don't have any money.
Right,
you know, I thought
right.
he just voted to eliminate Medicare because he says we can't afford that either. But, yeah, he hired this guy, this is an attorney named Paul Clement, one of the most expensive attorneys in the country. He was making $5 million a year when Boehner hired him, and he's charging the American people $520 an hour to defend this unconstitutional law. The Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can't be the case that someone like Boehner, who's so very worried about America's finances, would do something so reckless as to hire one of the most expensive lawyers in the country. There, you know, there must be something I'm missing here.
Yeah. It's sarcasm, right?
Of course.
I recognize that. Ian, you know, first of all, obviously the reason the Obama administration has not decided not to defend this is it is indefensible and unconstitutional. And on top of that, so if Boehner wanted to go, oh, okay, we're going to, you know, be homophobes then anyway, I mean, there's the House Office of, what do you call it, General Counsel has lawyers, has lots of great lawyers that could do this and not cost the American taxpayer. I mean, what was even he thinking PR-wise?
I think what he was thinking is that Boehner really, really cares about discriminating against gay people. So he wanted to get the best
lawyers right.
that he could get. Yeah, no, if you want to discriminate, you better do it right. But you're exactly right. I mean, there are plenty of ways. You know, the House already has a team of lawyers who are supposed to do this. There are attorneys who would have done this pro bono. And, you know, right. I'll say also that Boehner is really swimming against the stream here. The thing that gives me hope about this case is that yesterday there was a bit of drama. Clement's law firm, the lawyer's law firm, dropped out of the case yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, Clement wound up resigning from the firm in protest, so he's still on the case. But the good news is the reason why the firm dropped out is because they got massive pushback. They had gay attorneys in their firm who said, look, we'll find another job if you don't get out of this. There were law students who might come work for them someday said, hey, we'll find another employer. And then the biggest story is that their top client, Coca-Cola, the Coca-Cola Corporation, apparently called up this law firm and said, look, like, this discrimination is not something that we do in this country, so you can choose between us as a client or defending this anti-gay law.
Wow.
So,
good for them.
You know, the tide has changed here in this country. 7 years ago, George W. Bush ran against marriage equality, and today you have major institutions who are turning people who would defend this into pariahs. This is a sea change.
I remember that. Ken Melman was behind those little flyers that went out with the two men on the wedding cake. And then, oh, looky what happened since then. Why, it turns out Ken Melman's gay. Oh, my goodness. He didn't mention that back then.
Yeah, no, imagine that. I wonder why he was keeping that secret.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but things, you know, and you have to applaud him for, you know, because I understand from people, you know, that I know involved in the Prop 8 thing that he has gotten very involved now, so you have to applaud that. But you're absolutely right. This is just, he is so behind the times, Boehner, with this whole, you know, with this whole thing. And the thing, and as you make the fiscal conservative point, so he's still paying this guy. Clement is obviously still making, you know, at taxpayer expense, a nice check, even though he's left his law firm, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, Clement's still going to stay on. Boehner announced yesterday they're just going to draft a new contract that is the same term, so it's still going to be $520 an hour that the American people are paying to defend the indefensible. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, the other thing that gives me hope, you know, besides the fact that you have all these major institutions rising up, is, of course, the vote that everyone's going to be watching on the Supreme Court is Justice Kennedy. And Justice Kennedy cares a lot about, you know, how ready he feels the nation is for change. You know, it's not a coincidence that before he wrote the Lawrence decision, which was the last major gay rights decision, he looked over a courtroom during oral arguments that was full of gay attorneys, and he saw one of the most prominent members of the Supreme Court bar, a gentleman by the name of Paul Smith, arguing the Lawrence case in front of him, saying, end this discriminatory practice. And that really impacted Justice Kennedy, that the nation is not only has a constitution that demands equal treatment, but it's ready to live up to that. And I think that this bodes well for DOMA being struck down in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, interestingly, Ian, I'm the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show going to Syracuse Saturday, May 14th. We're getting together with the marriage equality folks there, because I don't know if you saw the New York Times piece, but New York is the next battlefront, particularly upstate where we're going to Syracuse, particularly in that area. And the tide is turning, and if New York goes and votes for marriage equality, right, that's going to be critical mass, I think.
You know, I mean, we're going to start to see a tidal wave, I think. I mean, I think that the northeastern states are going to, are going to get with the program very soon. I think the West Coast is going to get with the program very soon. And it's just going to move inland. And, you know, who knows? There may need to be a Brown v. Board style Supreme Court decision to get Alabama to sign on to the Constitution. But, you know, within our lifetimes, and probably within the next 15 to 20 years, this is going to happen.
Well, this is what they're saying, that, you know, I mean, the interesting thing, I think, that's happening in New York, I mean, among other places, but not only nationally has gay, you know, marriage equality, you know, as you know, a majority now favors it. In New York, what's happening is what we've always talked about, that the people that don't want it are being overwhelmed by younger and younger voters, even white Catholics upstate, which I was one of them. You know what I mean? I'm a white Catholic from Buffalo, you know, are trending now toward marriage equality. So it's really, I think, a sea change.
Yeah, no, and it's just such a simple issue. You know, the Constitution says that all people are entitled to the equal protection of the law. Last time I checked, gay people are people.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, now, so just let's go back to DOMA for a moment. So Boehner's spokesman released a comment, you know, a statement saying the speaker's disappointed in the firm's decision and its careless disregard for its responsibilities to the House in this constitutional matter. I mean, that's hilarious, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, he seemed to be suggesting that, oh, no, if this firm drops out, then there won't be a lawyer on this side. And, you know, that would somehow blow up the process because one side won't get a good argument. But that would only make sense if it wasn't for the case that Boehner already has a team of lawyers. You know, the House Office of General Counsel exists for the purpose of defending laws that DOJ won't defend.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's trying to score political points here.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, you know, no matter what this case is getting argued, there's just no reason why the American people have to pay over $500 an hour for it.
I know. Ridiculous. As you said, you know, I guess if you want a gay bash, make sure you hire someone really good at it. You don't want to have just, like, you know, the mid-level people on that.
Why get your hate for free when you can pay a whole lot of money for it?
Exactly. Now, the other thing I got to ask you, since we have you, the Supreme Court obviously rejected a call Monday from Virginia's Attorney General to depart from its usual practice and put review of the health care law back on a fast track. What do you think that means?
I don't think you can read too much into that. The Supreme Court almost never fast tracks a case in this way. They almost always want to hear what the courts of appeals have to say before they jump in. And you know, I think that the fact that that Ken Cuccinelli was asking the Supreme Court to depart from many, many years of its practice just shows, you know, how this whole lawsuit is about trying to throw the old rule book out the window, really trying to throw the old Constitution, you know, our actual Constitution out the window, and replace it with something that conservatives like better. You know, Congress is allowed to regulate interstate commerce. It's allowed to regulate the national economy however it chooses to. There aren't these limits that the right wants to put on it. And really what it comes down to in this case is whether the law applies, whether the Constitution applies, or whether, you know, Ken Cuccinelli is allowed to decide he doesn't like a rule so he can just wave his hand and make it go away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ian, you know, I'm curious how you think it was something you just said a while back, speaking to the Supreme Court about Kennedy, right? You said about, you know, wondering whether the country is ready. I mean, isn't that when you talk about any civil rights battle in our history? I mean, at some point, that's not the point, right? You know, you could have said, oh, well, you know, I don't think the South is really ready for this whole civil rights thing. I mean, isn't that part of civil rights, is that sometimes some people are not ready? Right, go ahead.
No. I think that's exactly right. I mean, there was tremendous upheaval after the Brown decision. Brown was still correct the day it was decided. It would have been correct, you know, had it been decided 90 years ago when it should have been decided. You know, our Constitution is the Constitution. Justice Kennedy, I can't speak today. Justice Kennedy, unfortunately, I think does tend to look for that readiness, you know, that sense that he's going to do something and it's not going to create a political backlash. And what I think the nation is saying right now is not only do we have a constitution that says that all people are created equal, but we really mean it this time. The nation is done with defying our constitution. And I'm optimistic that the Supreme Court is going to take that into account when they eventually hear this case.
Well, you know, the thing, Ian, when I look at this, though, is as we talked about polling, you know, it seems like gay rights is a lot farther ahead now than civil rights for blacks was at that time, don't you think? I mean, who was it? Was it, I'm blanking. Is it Lyndon Johnson that said we're going to lose the South for a generation? And they were right for longer than that, the Democratic Party, you know, for voting for civil rights, correct?
Yeah, no,
I'm just saying, is that going to happen with gay rights? But I don't think so. If you look at polling, you know, in most places, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, there will be places in this country that won't like a decision in favor of marriage equality. But, you know, to a certain extent, they've already experienced their backlash. You know, is Mississippi going to somehow get more conservative? I mean, probably unlikely. But, you know, you're exactly right.
Maybe we can just relegate the racists and homophobes to just smaller and smaller areas.
There you go. You know, just go ahead and concentrate them, and eventually they'll, you know, they can try separate but equal on for size and see how much they like it.
Yeah, and then they'll eventually just be like the Who's in Whoville, and we'll just pretend we don't hear them. All right. Ian Millhiser, who is not a legal animist, he's a legal analyst at the Center for American Policy. Thanks so much. We appreciate it,
Thank
Ian.
Thank you.
All right. Center for American Progress.
Progress. He's a policy analyst.
See, it's a law that if I get one part of it right, I have to get the second half wrong. You're welcome. 46 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
One minutes after the hour. Did I forget to mention that we have a really, really special guest Thursday morning?
What?
I've been tweeting for a while about it. Yeah. Maybe next hour I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. All right. 1-800. Just trust me. It's a very special guest. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mark in Chicago. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am calling to talk about some of the, quote, gay churches or gay denominations that you and a guest were talking about.
Oh, yes. I believe we're talking about the Family Research Council, and some of what they call pro-homosexual churches are churches that don't believe you should be stoned to death in Uganda because you're gay. It's that kind
exactly,
of... Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh, yeah. And there are some churches that are, quote, gay-friendly, like the United Church of Christ or the Episcopal Church. And then there's a denomination that I'm a part of. I'm a board member of the local church here in Chicago. It's called the Metropolitan Community
right.
Churches.
Wow.
Or MCC, and they were founded in 1968. And for 40-plus years, we have been working to kind of challenge the mainstream beliefs that identifying as lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, or queer is not an abomination. It's not a sin. It's nothing that God should hate you for, that you should go to hell for.
That's weird. It almost sounds like something Jesus would say, sort of love and include
exactly.
everybody. And it's crazy. That's
exactly.
radical.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you look at the Bible, there are 6 or 7 passages that conservative folks would use to say that we're all sinners and bound to hell. But when you look at them closely, when you look at the context and the language and the culture and the custom, when you really research them and get down to the 6 or 7 texts, what they're really about, it has nothing to do with homosexuality.
Yeah.
Like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it has nothing to do with homosexuality. It's about hospitality.
Well, right, and promiscuity. Yeah, the ecclesiastical MOOC, John Fugelsang, obviously talks about this better than anybody, I think. But, it, you know, it's absolutely true. You can also take passages in the Bible that say it's okay for us to own black people, and it's okay to
mm-hmm.
kill people that eat shrimp, and it's okay to kill your kid if they square at you. I mean, you know, I think this argument is ridiculous, how we should be making
absolutely.
Social policy in the 21st century. Mark, thank you, honey. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. I think we may have exciting news about Chicago soon.
What?
All right. What did I
what
say?
What could you mean
I'm
by
so
that?
I'm so teasy today. All right. Let's...
God, the Midwest loves you.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. How much longer do we have with the Glenn Beck on the TV?
I don't think a specific date has been announced yet.
I'm making a prediction. When he's gone from the TV, the radio is going to get even crazier.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to just go crazy on the radio. Do you think his TV conspiracy stuff is crazy now? Oh, okay, here he is.
the right-on-right infighting that is happening right now. For liberals, that's like girl-on-girl porn. It is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And the media is going to cover that whenever they can, because they think, oh, look, we can show the right's falling apart.
Yes.
It's almost like anyone who poses a threat to the establishment, somebody that calls a progressive, Lindsey Graham, and they, all of a sudden you're getting the tire iron shoved into your wheels.
What?
Isn't that weird?
Huh?
You're getting shot from the front and the back.
What? Wait a minute. A tire iron shoved in your wheels if
you're... Lindsey Graham.
Oh. Hmm.
The thing I learned from that little soundbite we played was a little bit of insight into Glenn Beck's taste in porn.
Well, I think it involves the teabagging of Lindsey Graham,
well,
clearly.
Yeah. And girl-on-girl
And then
porn.
Shoving a tire in your iron and something.
Yeah.
And then watching girl-on-girl porn. Okay, well, that was instructive.
Yeah, Glenn Beck likes girl-on-girl porn. Oh. Let's just take that away from it.
Okay, because the Republican Party's being torn apart by a bunch of crazy teabaggers and birthers,
yeah,
that's our fault. So it's the media's fault for covering it?
Yeah.
Because it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. It's porn. All right, just saying. Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
Take a look around the world. Show for me a liberal triumph. In the real sense, where it gets sustained by virtue of happiness, love, joy, and contentment. The only way liberalism, socialism, communism is sustained is at the point of a gun.
I love how they all link those in together. You know, how liberalism, same as communism, and socialism.
Socialism
is all exactly the same. Same.
Right.
It's all the same. Hmm. Wow.
The only way it can succeed is if we shoot somebody.
Apparently. Hmm. Okay. Senator, I'm just not even going to...
John Barrasso.
Yes.
Yes.
Of Wyoming.
I don't think we should raise taxes on anyone. The problem is when we send more tax money to Washington, Washington just spends it. What we need to do is grow the economy in a way that we have more people at work, and that will help deal with revenue issues. But I think to raise taxes on the job creators in this country just hurts our jobs market and our economy even more so.
Yes, yes. So clearly all the corporations that are currently paying, zero, or we're giving them money, like subsidies to the oil companies, that's not a business-friendly enough environment.
No.
You see, that's why they can't hire. They're not making enough profits, as you know. So you see, if we were to raise taxes on them, that would be... Okay. Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Freaks.
It's the oil company's fault? At least that's what the president says.
Another step we need to take is to finally end the $4 billion in taxpayer subsidies we give to the oil and gas companies each year.
Yes.
Really? Is blaming big oil just a way to get a boost in the polls? Is that a strategy to keep the gas prices down?
No, it's a strategy to keep the obscene profits that the oil companies make at our expense,
right,
that we're paying at the pump. Idiot. Jonah Goldberg.
First of all, the administration is just being dishonest about the idea that somehow we're going to default on our debt if we don't raise the debt limit immediately.
Yes.
We always take a lot of time to figure out how to do the debt ceiling thing. It doesn't mean automatic default.
Mm-hmm.
And why have a debt limit at all
if
you're not going to have strings attached to it? Why not just raise it to $100 quadrillion, right? And the limit is supposed to have some sort of disciplining effect. And I see nothing wrong if you're spending wildly to cut up someone's credit cards and put them on a payment plan.
Do you ever remember this discussion ever at all, ever? The, what is it, 8 times we raised it under George Bush?
No, not at all.
No. Never.
No.
Now it's a big, big discussion point. Okay, that concludes Right Wing World. Hey, after the top of the hour, I'll tell you who's coming on the show Thursday.
Yay!
Then what will I tease you about? 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yoo-hoo, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. I totally forgot to give away my Sherry's Berries gift certificate. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the best phone calls this morning at 1-800-STEP-1-2 will win a $50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries. Oh, my God, they're huge. Oh, my God, they're so big. They're so delicious. Berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in Stephanie.
I like the little ones that are painted like tuxedos.
Oh, they're so cute. I like the ones with coconut. And then
Ooh, you like coconut?
Coconut and also the nutty ones. Those nutty ones. Okay. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. We have so many newfangled things here at Stephanie Miller Incorporated.
Tell me about it.
We have Facebook page, we have a Twitter, and you can email us, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Ward. Good morning, Jim!
Morning.
All right.
I'm not a fan of the social media. I'm more for the anti-social media.
Yes.
Jim's a big fan of anti-social media. Exactly. All right. And we have a Facebook page for the Sexy Liberal Show. That's facebook.com/sexyliberal.
That's right.
Okay. Lots of exciting news. Jim, get my butter commercial music. Uh-oh. Did you hear who's coming on the show on Thursday?
No.
Oh, am I doing that or this?
Whatever.
All right, fine, do that.
You asked me for the...
I think it calls for this.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Maddow will be going on the big show on Thursday.
Cool. In person?
No, on the phone.
Yeah, she's a little bit busy.
Yeah.
When we return to Bender, David Bender will be here live in studio with us on Thursday. Rachel Maddow!
Cool.
Woo! I know, live blog, you thought it was Keith Olbermann, but listen... Rachel Maddow is very exciting.
You can't spill wine on her from 3,000 miles away.
I bet you Bob and Elaine just spilled wine on each other up in San Francisco. They didn't even know. They just did a spit take, I bet.
Huh.
I don't think they knew about this.
She's
Bob and Elaine Maddow. They probably need to put tarp down now.
Yes. She's made some statements lately that might be a little bit controversial.
Really?
Yes, about major news anchors who need to come out.
Oh. No way!
Yes.
Has she really?
Yes.
We all know who she's talking about.
She clarified yesterday that she was not talking about Anderson Cooper.
Oh. Okay. We'll see. She said that.
So.
She certainly didn't mean Tom Brokaw. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but she had to clarify. She clarified that she wasn't talking
about
him.
Okay, but
then
just bringing it up means...
I know.
Okay.
So maybe we could ask her a little bit about that.
All right. Yeah. All right. Oh, Lord. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know why I always geek out now when I see her. I mean, I worked with her for years in radio, and I still am like, remember the time that you were on Meet the President, you said to Dick Armey? And it's just people are like, Stephanie, you know her.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. Calm down.
The chat room seems to think it's Katie Couric that needs to come out.
Oh, really?
No, I think they're joking.
We aren't buying that perky, thing. That perky cougary thing.
Yeah, we all know that lesbians are known cynics.
All right. So very, very exciting Thursday on the big show. All right. Speaking of exciting.
Oh, by the way, that's going to be hour one that she's going to be appearing. So,
yes.
Yeah. So tune in for that.
Hmm.
Don't mention that. They should listen every single moment, never knowing when it might happen.
Okay.
Why must we be specific?
Well,
sometime between 6 and 9 in the morning Pacific Coast time.
Sometime between now and 2014. All right. Okay. Maybe I need to go back to tease school. Okay. All right. The other big sexy liberal news, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, our tour director has been bribed to stop booking the show.
That's right.
Conservatives going ape dump over it, calling him, threatening him, screaming. Well, they hacked our Twitter page.
They only coughed up $10,000. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to do better than that.
People have much more money than that.
We're selling out all over the country, for God's sakes. I mean, come on, ladies and gentlemen.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is taking the country by storm, packing theaters across the nation. And conservatives are losing their minds.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and radio goddess Stephanie Miller are touring America, and the Republicans are so afraid of the truth that they want to shut them down.
I say, shut it down.
Oh, no, she didn't!
Don't let that happen. Bring the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show to your area. Contact your favorite venue and demand it. Tell your friends, make a Facebook page, tag at Sexy Liberal on Twitter, and be sure to like Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Let it be known that we all want the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show because it's the show conservatives don't want you to see.
Yeah, if they want to stop that train rolling, they better be talking Rush Limbaugh money.
Exactly.
Coke Brothers money.
Exactly. Here's what we love about all the fine American sexy liberals that came out to see the show. We only just started in Madison this past Saturday. But John Fugelsang was saying, and you know this, Jim, you've been in comedy clubs. He was saying they're generally so sort of racist and homophobic. I worked in comedy clubs, right. And it's true. Mm-hmm. They're all like redneck comedy tour. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. And it's like this, we've changed the whole paradigm. Now we're like laughing at the homophobes and the racists. And it's a beautiful thing.
You might be a redneck if you're listening to this routine.
Exactly. All right, so coming up next, Fine American Sexy Liberals, Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th. Go to Ticketmaster.com for all these upcoming dates. Raleigh, Durham just announced June 4th at the Durham Performing Arts Center. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th at the State Theater. Boston, Saturday, July 16th at the Wilbur Theater. Ticketmaster. All right. Here's the kind of dedication I expect. Margo in Madison said, I had such a good time at the 10 o'clock show on Saturday. I was laughing so hard I forgot I had carpal tunnel release. Every time I started clapping, I was in pain, but it was worth it. Thanks for starting your tour in Madison. You're welcome, Margo.
Yay, ow. Yay, ow. Yay, ow. Yay, ow. Ow. Yay, ow. Ow.
I expect that sort of sacrifice. You don't injure yourself laughing or clapping. You don't love me enough.
You'll find out what the sound of one hand clapping is if you have carpal tunnel.
Yeah, well.
Well, there were people doing that when Hal and I were demonstrating teabagging, but that's a whole other story.
That picture is up on your Facebook page and up on your website
now.
Won't
my mother be proud. Thank God my mom doesn't have a computer. Okay.
She doesn't?
No.
I thought she had like
No, years we've tried to convince her to get a computer and she won't do it. She's 88 and she's not doing it. She won't have it.
Little princess rotary computer. Yeah. That you plug into the wall.
I've never been more relieved since we started putting pictures up from the tour. Yeah. I think it's just as well. My mother doesn't know it.
Stephanie, that's so rude.
Oh, Steffi. Oh, you've gotten so radical.
Have you explained to her what teabagging is?
No. We did not discuss that.
No? Okay.
She's still in mourning over Glenn Beck. It's just a...
a thing.
How can you mourn him if he won't go away?
Why are you leaving? Yeah. I think I was saying Saturday night that I'm just saying, because I did say to her, this was an actual conversation. Last time I was visiting, I think I told you guys this, that I actually said, you know, Mom, some of Glenn Beck's crazy fans like send me death threats. And I swear to God, she said... what did I say? Oh, some of Glenn Beck's crazy fans. Right, and she goes, oh, Steffi, I don't appreciate you calling Glenn Beck's fans crazy. She didn't really have any comment on the first part of the thing.
On the death threat.
No,
thing.
That part. No. She just was offended that I...
Called her crazy.
Yeah, so I did speculate Saturday night that if one of them shot me, as long as they just winged me and I was okay, I think she'd still do Glenn Beck's press conference. Well, Steffi had it coming. She's gotten so radical. Glenn's just trying to save America from the Muslim and his Islamic caliphate.
Can you really blame them? Because you've gotten so radical.
Okay. All right.
I can't believe she said that to you, that you've gotten so radical.
I swear to God, she didn't even care about the death threat part. She literally just said, I do not appreciate you calling Glenn Beck's fans crazy. I was like, there's a part in before that. She's a grammar bug like you.
Yeah.
I remember that from my childhood. I remember when I was traveling or when I was younger, I was like, you know, Angela and I almost got raped. And when we were in, you know, Spain, and she was like, Angela and me or something like that. She corrected like
the other way around.
Whatever. But you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
But she did not focus on what happened. She focused on the grammar of it was incorrect.
You said me and Angela almost got raped.
No, Angela and I almost got raped.
Exactly.
Really? I mean, that's the important
thing. She does
thing.
Not tend to sort of focus on the more inflammatory parts of the sentence.
On the more,
The true wrong there was the grammar. Sure. Is the crime against grammar.
Of course.
Or the crime against Glenn Beck. Okay.
Crimes against grammar. Ugh.
Yeah, see? You won't buy whiskers for your cat because it's not spelled correctly.
Exactly.
All right, Sue Ann, right, Steph? I heard today you're going to be coming to Raleigh, Durham in June. Yes, my God, I want to get a ticket for that event. How? Well, it's Friday at 10 a.m.
Friday at 10 a.m. at the box office.
Yeah, well, you can go to Ticketmaster, but if you want to avoid those fees, just saying. You can go to the Durham Performing Arts Center.
Box office, that's right.
Thank you. All right. And I think they're going to, we're trying to get some party buses together going from Asheville. That was Von Seal at Bouchon's idea.
Sweet.
Maybe she'll bring creme brulee for everybody on the party
Ooh,
bus.
And she makes some damn fine creme
brulee.
I'm not
sure creme brulee travels very well.
Well, that's why you have to eat it right away.
That kind of has
and
to.
And then you can just sink into a sugar coma until you get to Raleigh-Durham.
Or, you know, maybe she could bring, like, pre-made creme brulees and then they can brulee it right on the bus.
Sure.
There you go.
Is that an actual word, brulee it?
Well, that's
past tense. Is that a verb?
Past tense. It's burned cream.
Oh.
Brulee means burned.
Burn the cream. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, looky, it's another unsolicited testimonial. Keith in Palm Springs. Staff is a longtime listener. My cassette recorder finally gave up. I have a cassette recorder. And,
do
I, have,
you really?
And I have a portable CD player that I use.
Mm-hmm. You hike with that, don't you?
Yes, sometimes I
I've
do.
I've seen you.
Yeah. If Randy Rhodes isn't on, I need to do something, and I sometimes I
what
can't
happened to your iPod?
I have it. I just don't know how to get things in it. If someone needs to give me a... Somebody needs to give me a refresher.
Maybe
course.
When I set up your go-to-my-PC, I'll also set
good
up
idea.
Your iPod. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit like you, and I'm slowly making a transition away from my paper calendar. I will never give up my paper calendar. So I started with the StephCast at $7.95 a month, afraid of commitment. Today, I have fully entered the modern age with Chris by buying the StephCast at only $4.95 a month.
Whoa!
If you buy your internet! Oh, my God. Oh, today, my boy is a man. Now I easily download the StephCast directly to my smartphone and take you and the mooks with me everywhere. I'm making new friends as people hear you going on and on about needing to be the prettiest one on the Sexy Liberal Show. Which I'm not. I'm the ugliest one. John Fugelsang, who looks like Katie Lang. I'm not even the hottest lesbian on the tour.
No.
Really quite depressing. Ugh.
Maybe we need to find an ugly liberal. Are there any?
No. Liberalism itself is sexy. That's what
right.
I was explaining to Edie McClurg yesterday. It means you're open-minded and empathetic, and what's not sexy about that? Anyone that's liberal is sexy, for God's sakes. Michael in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
our frequent caller.
Yes.
Steph, regarding your sexy liberal tour, is New York included in your tour stops? We're getting the sexy liberal elves are working on things as we speak.
Well,
that'll be a big
there,
one, me and the rematch of New York. Listen.
Ooh, maybe you'll do one in the Bronx.
Duh, Bronx.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, or by accident, if we do have a Bonfire of the Vanities car ride where the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
It's happened before.
Much like in the rented Volvo in Madison, drives us endlessly around.
Okay, this is good.
Well, that happened to us in Denver.
Jim, you
We're
know he's
a
not...
a tour of all the boroughs.
You know
this
he's not good.
Good
with the GPS. He got us lost, I swear to God, getting to the Barrymore.
Oh.
And yeah. And it literally was like I didn't even have to go to Walgreens for my pap smear. Hal gave me one in the back seat because we had like this much space. My legs were behind my ears.
So instead of a Volvo, it was more like
it was a Volvo.
Yeah. Volvo.
Hey, ladies, gentlemen.
What a spark smear.
Hmm. Karen in Downers Grove, one last one. Hi, guys. At the risk of making a total pest of myself, I'm emailing again to please announce a date for the Sexy Liberal Show in Chi-Town. My husband, bless his little heart, is slightly manic and already has half the summer weekends booked.
Oh,
yeah. We've all had partners like that. I told him he could no longer put anything on the calendar until I know when you guys are coming. All right, Karen, stay tuned. We may have we're working on it. Working on it. Oh, this one, Jim, for you. Dear Mommy, you promised to airlift us out of Texas here in Austin. We did promise. But how can you do that if you don't come to Austin, as Kim Jong-il would say, please?
Please come to Boston.
Austin.
In the springtime.
Okay. Chris in Atlanta, Mama, Jim's new version of Rush Limbaugh sounds like what I imagine Jabba the Hutt would sound like if he channeled Brit Hume.
Yeah, that's true. My friends, solo.
I love my voice spot.
Yeah.
Okay, 20 minutes after the hour. Speaking of great audio, Jim, I got to play this Chris Matthews for you next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Bruce in Chicago. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Steph.
Steph.
Yeah, honey.
Limbaugh, in his statement about liberalism doesn't work, seems to forget that the social democratic countries of Scandinavia have the highest happiness quotients in the world, traditionally.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Exactly.
I don't want people to be happy. I want to be miserable. Well, I count my money, my
like
friends.
Me. I want you to be so unhappy you need to take thousands of pills a week. Okay. Theoretically.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Julie writes, Steph, Chris Matthews just summed up Mitt Romney's chances. I just love this. Being a dog owner, I love this.
I think Mitt Romney's like the dog food the dog never wanted. No matter how much advertising and how good he looks, he doesn't like the taste of this dog food.
We all know what that's like. Dog food. It's like you put it out again. It's like, no, I didn't want that last time. I still don't.
You let the dog food out. Woof, woof.
Yeah, woof. My cat is like that.
I love, Julie says, if anyone in right-wing world like Mitt, they go nuts about this, but they don't. Poor Mitt. No one likes him. Ah, that's hilarious. I was saying, every now and again, Chris Matthews just blurts something out. It's hilarious.
I got a tingle up my leg.
Well,
no, not that. Did you see he played the clip of Charlie Sheen's birther ramble? But at least I was born here. I got a birth certificate. He comes back, the camera goes back to Chris Matthews. He goes, well, there's a fertile mind. Afeni in Detroit. Hello. Good morning.
Thank you so much for, one, putting me on the air, and two, for saying my name correctly. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, go ahead.
I was at Katherine Ferguson Academy in Detroit, Michigan, where because of the emergency financial manager, they're going to shut down all of these schools in Detroit, including this one for pregnant and parenting girls.
That's right.
There's been some coverage on Rachel Maddow about it. There's a link that you can go to. It's BAM.com, where you can make a donation to help with the legal fees and to continue this fight for public education in Detroit, which is really important because I live here. And what's also true is that this is going to be like the bellwether of how it's going to go in the rest of the country, because privatization of public education is not something that's specific to Detroit. It's going to happen everywhere if we don't take care of it
right
now.
No, it is, you know, Afeni, it is, Republican governors are overreaching in so many states, it's hard to keep track. We just went to Madison, gave some of our money to United Wisconsin behind recalling them. The only thing I can do for you is give you a $50 gift certificate to Sherry's Berries, however, until I can get to Detroit, all right? Will that make things a little better?
Chocolate-covered strawberries sounds wonderful.
Okay.
The Sexy Liberal Show coming to Detroit would be wonderful.
Even better. All right. Working on it. All right. Rebecca, give her Sherry's Berries. Go to berries.com and click in Stephanie if you're going to. Oh, they're delicious.
They are.
All right. A $50. I'm sorry. I know it does not compensate for a horrible Republican governor gutting education, but it's the best I can do this morning. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you love her fire?
I guess.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show this hour, brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Yeah, we couldn't have put together the Sexy Liberal Show without it.
That's right.
I love this this one from Scott, who was in the audience in Madison Saturday. Hi, Steph. My wife badgered me into taking her to your Sexy Liberal Show this past Saturday in Madison. Prior to the show, I was a politically independent heterosexual male. Now I'm a progressive lesbian female who can't erase the image of Hal Sparks squatting over your prostate body on stage. Yuck.
Prostrate, not prostate.
Sorry.
Oh.
Yuck. Men in their yam sacks. Thanks a lot. Formerly, Scott. Listen, it was a public service. A lot of people still don't exactly know what teabagging is. I'm just saying. All right.
I wonder if Charlie Pierce will do that to you in Boston.
He loves when I do these little skits right before he comes on. There's only one man now that understands. Now the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
There is no chance.
No?
Just let me tell you this right now. And tell LaVoy he can forget about it. There's not enough money in the world. You know, by the way, though, do you know what I'm wearing right at this very moment?
A Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show thong?
No, a Stephanie Miller Show baseball hat.
Really?
Oh, yes, which I paid American cash money for, much to the great ridicule of my family.
Aww.
And my friends.
We love you, Charlie Pierce.
Will you wear that on stage on where was it? Carry the portable. Well, oh, figured, Saturday, July 16th?
I figured I'm just coming to get a backstage pass. I'll just be with the, I'm with the band. I'll be like the Pamela Desberry.
By the way, someone sent me an entire...
I'm not being the plaster caster, no matter what.
By the way, someone sent me an entire Boston primer of because apparently people went crazy that we pronounced Tremont.
Tremont. Yeah,
Tremont Street wrong. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Tremont Street,
Sorry. You know, you guys are awfully sensitive for people who talk so funny.
Well,
I mean,
I was going to say we've been talking funny for 350 years.
Yeah. I mean, what's the big idea, anyway?
And then my family and the rest of the Irish showed up and really screwed things up.
Yeah.
Did I hear, by the way, that the kindly old physician, kindly Dr. Maddow, is going to be on your show this week?
Dr. Rachel Maddow on the big show
on
Thursday.
You guys are going to have to get really smart in 2 days.
Yeah, I know. I'll be in
it.
The library till then, trying not to come off like a dope.
No, because I remember when Idiot America was published, the second day it was out, I appeared on Kindly Dr. Maddow's show in New York, and it went from 3,900 on Amazon to 3,939.
Wow.
Dr. Maddow will sell you some books.
Yeah, take that, Oprah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think I understand her audience has some fancy book learning of some sort in general.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She's gonna sit there. You're gonna wind up like Jim Imhoff if you're not careful. That.
Yeah, I made a joke about a book on stage at the Sexy Liberal on Saturday. It got a huge laugh, and I'm like, see, this is what I love about liberals. You get jokes about books.
That's right.
The Redneck Comedy Tour.
Granted, it was the Cat in the Hat, but I mean. What?
The Redneck Comedy Tour, they would have been like, what? It's holding up one of the cars in my front yard, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's the thing that's on the floor by the commode.
Oh, we kid. So, where's my circus music? Charlie Pierce, I'm sure you know the 2012 Republican presidential field, the insane clown posse, as we call them. One of the clowns has gotten out of the car, Governor Haley Barbour.
Well, that means there's a lot more room in the car for the rest of the clowns.
Right. That means there's more room for clowns to get into the car.
T-Paw is not wedged into the back seat, you know, like, or, you know what, though? You got to remember that Mitt's got one of them riding on the roof. I don't know which one. But one of the candidates is riding on the roof. And the, you know, back on the roof, Fido, we're going to Iowa.
Well, we were saying just for the visual of him, Buford Pusser debating the president, it would have been entertaining, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not Buford Pusser, it's Boss Hogg.
Yes,
I mean,
totally Boss Hogg.
Oh,
yes.
Indeed.
I don't understand that, you know, why he would think that a guy who looks like a Thomas Nast cartoon of a racist Southern governor fouls around with neo-Confederates and used to be a big time lobbyist would find any drawbacks.
You know,
by the way, he already had that Orange County Republican representative signed up as his campaign manager, the one that sent the picture of the president with his face on a chimp. So he was ready to go, and apparently.
But you know what? She's not racist. She's not racist.
No, she's an imperfect Christian.
She's an imperfect Christian. That's right.
Yes.
As Jesus slaps his forehead and downs another brandy.
Yeah.
I just love that visual. Oh, boy. Someone was recalling the old Sam Kinison routine on Easter. About Jesus.
I'll go back, even though I'm the only guy in history who could use his hand for a whistle. That one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was. Oh boy, Sam Kinison. He's, you know, the whole. You remember the line about if someone would get a stepladder and some pliers, I might not have to die.
My favorite one from him, though, is still the one about how hard it was to be an apostle because you could never call in sick. You call into Jesus and say, "I'm not feeling too good." What? I'm cured.
Damn it.
See you in 10 minutes.
So, Charlie Pierce, we
just... knew his scripture, by the way, almost as well as John Fugelsang does.
Yeah, I tell you what. Now, listen, I have to... I played this, but I have to play it for you again because it's about, you know, guy from your neck of the woods, Mitt Romney. But I love this Chris Matthews analogy, being a dog lover, of course.
I think Mitt Romney's like the dog food the dog never wanted. No matter how much advertising and how good he looks, he doesn't like the taste of this dog food.
It's just, they keep putting him out, thinking somehow it'll be different.
Oddly enough, Chris Matthews went to the same college as my father did.
Really?
Holy Cross College.
Oh, wow. Holy Cross. My brother-in-law went there.
Really? I mean, I'm the only male member of my family who didn't go there.
Wow.
And including my Jesuit uncle, who was dean of men there.
Yeah.
And a great guy. But what is he talking about? Is there a phenomenon of dogs not liking highly advertised dog food that I'm not aware of? I mean, is that a real phenomenon, or is that just something Chris made up in his head?
It means something only to Chris.
it doesn't matter how it's marketed, if it tastes like...
I have like gourmand corgis sitting there going, I will not eat this Purina dog chow. We do not eat Purina in this house.
All right, take a listen
For
to
example,
that.
Your dogs, which are the size of Buicks, they eat anything, right?
They do.
Exactly.
They even eat your house.
That's how they get to be the size of Buicks, yes.
They eat your baseboards, don't they?
Mm-hmm, sometimes.
Are they on tour, by the way? Because the one thing I do want, the thing that would consummate our friendship, Stephanie, in a very real way, is if I met the dogs. Because I'm a big dog person.
Well, you're going to have to come here. They don't travel well. No. They literally, you remember Pet Airways?
Yeah.
Had to get a special carrier and plane for Max. He's too big.
Yeah.
C-47.
One of the circus planes.
The Abrams fighting vehicles in.
Yeah.
Here comes Max, the big doors opening in the front of the plane.
The helicopter from Operation Dumbo Drop.
Yes. A cargo plane, yes. Yeah. All right, Santorum, don't giggle it. Don't Google it, I mean. Take a listen. Man. Here he is, Rick Santorum.
I think America is a moral enterprise. We cannot have limited government unless we have good and decent people living good and virtuous lives. Mm-hmm. You don't have those people living those kinds of lives, then government gets bigger and more intrusive and more prescriptive. Economic issues, in part, are moral issues. Mm-hmm. You cannot have lower taxes unless you have a society that lives by some sort of moral consensus.
See, and there he'll be standing on stage between Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich when he gives that little speech again in the first debate.
Frothy.
Charlie Louise Pierce.
No, did you understand a word of that, by the way?
No.
I mean, if we didn't, if we
family
didn't
values
have, if
got
we didn't have no, but if we didn't have any crime, we wouldn't need any police. Very good, Rick. But you know what? We're going to have crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? Because some people are bad.
It's like they just took the old, you know, family values rhetoric from the Clinton years and put it in a blender and hit frappe. It's just the same sort of moral
vibe. And out came a frothy mixture.
Charlie Pierce bringing it home.
Is he running? Are any of them officially running yet besides Herman Cain?
Oh, well, here's the breaking news. Representative Ron Paul is going to announce today that he's forming a presidential exploratory committee, which I love that. It really is the passing the note in grade school, isn't it? Do you like me? Check yes or no. And send it back.
Well, it's only people that have failed in running before that are running.
Yes. But they're exploring it again. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you're looking for something to read over the next few days, the Time 100 Most Influential People is out again. And
yes.
It's just as hilarious as it was last year. There's Rush Limbaugh writing about Michelle Bachmann, who is apparently one of the 100 most influential people.
Wow.
And the best one.
Yes.
Paul Ryan, the essay of which is written by Scott Walker.
You have
a governor who is approximately as popular as Mange, right? In praise of a senator of a congressman whose economic plan is rejected by 80% of the American people. We may be at the event horizon for really bad conservative ideas right there.
I knew there's a reason to stop reading Time.
Yeah, exactly. So you heard the latest on our birther friend Donald Trump. He hasn't voted in a primary since 1989. And then he actually lied
about
it.
He's married like six times since 1989.
Yeah, exactly. 1989. Yeah, I mean, he is such a ridiculous blowhard that has not a shred of credibility. He said, you're going to pay a big price because you're wrong. I have records and I voted and so does the Board of Elections. I signed in at every election. By the way, guess what you can see if you go to you can see President Obama's birth certificate if you go to the, what do you call it? Hawaii Department of Records.
And you know what? We posted, we just posted a copy of it this morning on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And if you and if you go to Hawaii and ask for it, Neil Abercrombie will come out of the governor's mansion and punch you in the head at this point. Completely fed up with the whole thing.
He's that kind of guy.
Well, I mean, Charlie, when does this go away? I mean, this is just the latest thing that you didn't even think you had to report on, but some Obama birth records, is what Chris is just saying, have been made public for years.
Well, I mean, this is one of the and you know, the guy Jerome Corsi, the crazy swift boat guy, is going to come out with a book that has no substance whatsoever.
Yes.
But I will guarantee you, I will make you a bet that by the time the Sexy Liberal Tour gets to the Wilbur Theater on Tremont Street, this will be a thing in the national media.
Yeah.
We will be quote unquote covering the controversy.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Because the elite political press in this country doesn't know how to do anything but.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean the template for this was, and people forget because they have the, you know, their historical memory goes back like 25 seconds, or history is basically whatever came in their BlackBerry 15 minutes ago. This all started in the Clinton years.
Yep, absolutely.
When people could say anything.
Yeah.
And it would get some legs in the national media.
Yeah, Charlie, I said that yesterday, that it, you know, maybe it's not worse now, because you're right, Clinton was a, you know, murderer and a rapist and a drug runner, but you're right, this is the racist version of it.
This is all these bad things and he's not even qualified to be president. This kind of has this, you know, there was a little bit of the class thing, I think, to the Clinton thing, that these were, you know, white trash people from Arkansas and how dare they, and, you know, the famous David Broder line, you know, they came in and trashed the place, it's not their place. There was a little of that, but this has kind of really got a really kind of icky subtext to the guy being an alien, the guy being the other.
Yeah.
And I think
it's Charlie, I gotta tell you, you know, we've joked a lot about this email, you know, with the president's face superimposed on the chimp, but, you know, I think most decent people, it makes your stomach turn. I mean,
I think it makes the stomach turn of all decent people, not most, but I mean.
Yeah. I mean, literally, seeing it, I got sick to my stomach. It's just, you thought, God, really? In 2011, that's
the one that always gets to me, is that it's you know what, 54 years since Brown v. Board, and we've still got people that are living in their bubble and existing like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like the very first kind of town meeting things in the spring of 2009. And you had like 30-year-old, you know, white ladies from Arkansas weeping and saying, "I want my country back."
You didn't need the
Enigma machine
to
decode that.
Yeah. By the way, as Commissioner Gordon's calling, your big jangly 1940 telephone is apparently ringing behind you.
That's across the room.
All right.
Charlie Stanway calling me, telling me the murderer is upstairs on my other side.
Charlie Pierce with the three-pointer before he goes. Yeah. I love you, Charlie Pierce. See you next week.
We'll talk next week.
All right, sweetheart. Bye.
It's Dick. Are you in?
No.
Nothing but net. Charlie Pierce on the way out. There he goes.
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
Oh, heavens. 47 minutes after the hour.
That's not what I hear.
Depends on what year that was. That was from my radio show in 1992.
Really?
The last time I saw one.
Oh.
I think that's when it was. I'll do the math and get back to you after the break. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. 52 minutes after the hour, carry the 3 divided by 4. Okay, the last time I saw, I'm pretty sure, 1991.
New York.
Yeah, I might have to bust out those old Yuck Yucks jokes for the next Sexy Liberal show. Because, you know, that boyfriend and I, we actually broke up over religious differences.
Really?
Uh-huh. He thought he was God and I didn't. I can still use it! 1992 a Yuck Yuck.
I think that was on your Best of the Improv Part 4 DVD.
Oh, wow.
Do not watch that.
I have that on my shelf at home.
My first girlfriend was half Jewish and half Indian, so for dinner she made reservations.
Yay!
Which is
actually
true.
Okay. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
These goons that you had on talking about the so-called can't get rid of subsidizing the oil companies and other companies. Well, here's the problem with that. Number one, what job bill have they created since they've been in office 120 days? Number two, with the expenses going on where companies use gasoline, trucks going back and forth, delivering goods, distribution, as those costs go up, those get incurred on the price tag. We pay more. It takes more out of our budget. So if anything's going to lay people off, not hire more people, where are they coming from?
Yep.
They're idiots.
Yep. Thank you. Very good. Good rant. Good rant. All right. Oh, by the way, we have talked about that I'm an elderly, single, childless loser,
yep.
Elderly shut-in, which is true, which is correct.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the olden days they called them spinsters.
Yes. Yes. I was overly excited on the Sexy Liberal Tour because I don't get out of the house.
Right.
So I really was like a retriever, golden retriever going for its first ride. Have my tongue out the whole time. Okay.
Were you wearing doggles?
I was just very excited. Okay. Debbie in Indiana, though, says, you are mistaken. You're a loser. Honey, being single and childless does not make you a loser. Coming from a thrice divorcee with three ungrateful, inconsiderate, lazy kids, trust me.
Oh,
my dogs are 10 times more reliable, loyal, and loving than all my kids put together. The grandkids are the only reason I even talk to my grown-up brats. Oh, well, that's true.
Wow.
All right. Fine American Dan in Binghamton, New York. Who better be going to the Syracuse show May 14th? Dan, talking to you. Dear staff, when Obama ran for president, he didn't say, yes, I can. He said, yes, we can. After the electorate put him in office, they thought their job was done. And like you said, if Democrats in Congress had a spine and had his back, maybe we would have closed Guantanamo and had a public option. Thank you, Dan. That's my point. Dan's a fellow happy clappy. Oh, looky. We've been getting lots of hate mail. From, you know, because of the Sexy Liberal show from right-wingers.
Right.
How about Dale, though? Love your show. Hey, normally when a letter starts, hey, it's not good. This one's fine. You and I are probably as far apart politically as possible. Nevertheless, you are an excellent broadcast talent, and I always enjoy your show. Why, thank you, Dale. Today I laughed aloud, or the other day, when you played Taxman as a transition to the commercial. This was shortly after you advocated returning to the Eisenhower tax rates. That was a joke, Dale. I was saying we should start there so as to negotiate. As Taxman was written as a tax protest song against the then maximum 95% British tax rates and the Eisenhower top rate was 91%, I assume that 95% is the point where even liberals agree that taxes can be too high.
Computer says, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dale. Yes. Yes. This is not an advocacy email. But you have to appreciate the irony of playing a tax protest song on your show. I'm sure you did. Again, I enjoy the show. Why, thank you, Dale. I was just saying in terms
as
of negotiating.
Tactic,
yes, I just...
You shoot for the moon.
I said it was part of my skit that he should play Shaft, the president,
yes.
Come out, light the Paul Ryan budget on fire, wipe his ass with it, and then propose the Eisenhower tax rates. And then leave. And then slam the door, and then that's...
Yeah, not going to happen.
All right, I'm not saying I'm the best negotiator. I'm just saying because, as you said, Jim, and I agree, perhaps we should have started from single payer. And
yes.
Then, yes, so, All right, I was mentioning this story. So Donald Trump says he's considering running in the primary, obviously. Let's see. He apparently has not voted for more than 2 decades. And then he lied about it, more importantly, just like he lied about the fact that he wasn't stooping Marlon Maples when I lived in New York the last time I saw a man.
Marlon who? Doesn't ring a bell.
I remember that period when he was saying, there's no truth to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He last time he voted was in the 1989 New York City mayor's race for Giuliani. Then he didn't vote in a primary for 21 years. Trump told the New York One news station that he's voted in every general election. He said, I just love this, when he's screaming for the president's birth records. He says that he has election records. Yeah, as it turns out, no. No.
The state also has election records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have records. Liar.
I'm going to tell New York State, you're fired.
Oh, boy. All right. The actual fun facts about Obama's birth records and the bald prophet of doom from CNN, Ali Velshi, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We do the Not For The Kids Sexy Liberal Show when the commercial breaks here.
Yeah.
On the radio show. Okay. And that's what you get to see on stage at the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. All right. Where we got stuff going on, kids. Go to facebook.com/
Sexy Liberal.
Thank you. Syracuse, Saturday, May 14th. Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, Saturday, June 4th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Very excited. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Thank you, kids. Everybody is it's really our booking guy, who has been bribed to stop booking it, said he's never seen anything like it in all his years booking. The tickets just flying out the window. I don't know. All right. Never counting for people's tastes. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Rachel Maddow on Thursday's show in hour number one.
Cool.
Tomorrow, Hal Sparks and Carrie Elleveld from The Advocate magazine. So another big, big show.
Carrie Elleveld.
Exactly.
Tom Brokaw wishes he never had a report on Carrie Elleveld.
I think we're going to have you introduce her. It's Tom Brokaw. Oh, you know who you could introduce now? CNN's a bald prophet of doom.
A bald prophet of doom.
It's...
Sorry, I'm strangling on my own tongue.
She. Allie Belshi.
I've got theme music.
Yes, you do.
I love it.
Good morning, Allie Belshi.
I'm like the bald prophet of optimism now.
Are you really?
You changed your tune.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Stock market's at 3-year highs. Housing prices are going to go up. Interest rates are at as low as they've ever been. I mean, what's bad? Okay, we still have a bit of a jobless problem, and we've got gas prices at almost $4 a gallon. We got oil at $110 a barrel.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a few problems.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on the gloom, as you're so good at.
Right.
Let's focus on the gas prices. Because, the interesting thing, we were talking to someone yesterday that was saying, what happens is every time there's a crisis, people go, oh, there's, Japan, there's a crisis there, and Libya, and that's what's happening. And that's and we buy it, right? We go,
oh
okay.
Goodness.
And that's not why, right?
This is such nonsense, and I'm so glad
you
brought this up. It is such nonsense. I did, a few weeks ago, I did it on my show where I took some of these ridiculous headlines about why oil is going up. Oil's going up because the world demands a lot of it. We are addicted to it. We haven't found good ways to get off of it. And everybody talks about what will happen to the price of oil and gas if we conserve. We're not even the ones driving it up. It's Chinese. It's Indians. It's people who are growing and developing and using more of it. So we need to just find better ways to deal with this and stop complaining. And frankly, I'm a little annoyed that the president has fallen for this trap and has named this commission. He's going to be having a fact-finding commission on gas prices. We know the facts. It's too expensive.
It's too damn expensive. We need
too
that guy.
Damn high.
Yeah, we need the gas is too damn high guy.
Gas is too damn high.
That's exactly right.
It's interesting. We had Peter Gallagher on, who narrates this new documentary called Gas Hole. I know. I said that right. But. It really is infuriating when you think about it. It sort of documents the last 65 years of all of these alternate technologies being squelched by the oil companies.
Right.
We could have, been off oil years ago.
Yep. The best cure for high gas prices or high oil prices, I think, is high oil prices. If you recall the last time when we got up to $147, we really had good conversations about alternatives. We even had oil men like Boone Pickens talking about wind. I mean, we were all looking at solar and new things. For some reason, we don't seem to be taking this one as seriously, and we don't seem to be going back to these alternatives. But it's the high oil prices, more than taxes and more than anything else, that got us to start thinking about smaller cars. The auto shows are all showing off smaller cars now. But you're absolutely right. We've got to break ourselves off of this.
Now, you mentioned something about interest rates. It's hard to keep track of if you're, thinking, should I buy, should I refinance?
Yep.
Are they lower now, or weren't they lower before? How are they relative to...
Yeah, they were a little lower, but we've had a bit of a downturn again in interest rates. So if you're getting a 30-year fixed mortgage, you got good credit, you can put 20% down or something, you can get a mortgage for under 5% again, a 30-year 30-year mortgage. There are a million reasons why interest rates are going to go up over the next couple of years. So if you're in the market, I'd worry more about that than I'd worry about sort of doomsayers who say that the housing market is going to suffer. Now, again, if you're in parts of L.A. or you're in Miami or Detroit or Phoenix, you know, think again about it. But yeah, for the rest of the country, I think it's a good time to buy if you can. I never think it's a good time to buy if you can't afford a house and if renting will let you sleep better at night.
Well, fortunately, here in Los Angeles, everything is extremely affordable.
But, you know, it's a lot more affordable than it was in 2005 and 2006 when there was just no possibility of the average wage earner being able to buy a house at that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember that when the, you know, prices, at least here in Los Angeles, were going up and up and up. I was like, how is this possible? People aren't making that much more money suddenly.
Yeah, incomes aren't going up as fast as housing prices.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, and that's what you know, rampant speculation and, by the way, low interest rates will do. But the fact is, for a lot of people, things are more affordable. We've still got a lot of those foreclosures hanging around, and you've got a lot of them right around L.A. as well. But it is still going to be a good market. You know what? One of the measures of what's going to happen to the housing market is looking at what's happened to rentals. And what you've seen is rental prices have started to increase across the country because people can get into rentals. They don't need to have good credit for it. I think that there are definitely going to be positive things happening to rentals. But everything, Stephanie, always comes back to the jobless rate. Unless we just have to work harder at making sure that more people are employed in this country.
What do you make of this, you know, the ongoing budget fight? You know, you've got Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, yesterday said this.
You can't stay a strong and powerful country if you owe a lot of money to other people.
I mean, do you really think there's a chance they're going to not raise the debt ceiling?
I'll tell you, ever since the Tea Party had the influence that they had in the last election, I think there's a chance of anything. It would be very bad if they didn't. To some degree, I credit the Tea Party with forcing a discussion that we probably have had for some time and we weren't having. That said, I think Washington's been a little immature about this. I don't think most people appreciate going to the brink of every discussion and then finding a solution. I think we're going to find this thing with the debt ceiling again. The first date that's important is May 15th. But they've got until about the first week of June to work it out. And I bet you they're going to wait till the last minute on that stuff, too. We need to stop holding each other hostage to find financial solutions.
I said that. I said, you remember this conversation once during the Bush years, the 8 times we raised the debt ceiling, this becoming this Armageddon? I mean, you make a good analogy there. It would be like every discussion you have in your family, you know, there's threats and weapons involved, and I'm going to blow the house up if I don't give it. All right, we'll go to Arby's.
Exactly right. I'm going to divorce you. I mean, most people have to have regular discussions about things, and I think our politicians need to. But I think that is a very valid point that you make, and I like to point this out, that while I do credit the people who say we have to have this discussion now, you can't put this blame on the Democrats. You can't put it on just the Republicans. We've been building this thing for a long time. We've all been part of it. It's time to start to solve it. I also think we got to tone down the rhetoric on how much of a crisis it actually is.
Listen, I know you tossed in that bipartisan nugget because that crafty Christine Romans always warns you that I'm going to try to drag you into politics.
she primed me before I got on with you.
But I'm just saying, you know, my point is that I'm sorry, it is the Republicans exclusively that are threatening not to raise the debt limit and trying to use that as a bargaining chip, taking us hostage.
And it's the Tea Party influenced Republicans in general. The moderate Republicans understand the danger of doing this. People who do not understand the danger of not increasing this debt ceiling are entirely out of touch with it, and frankly will get their comeuppance if they mess with this thing. This is playing with fire. I get it. I get that it's serious. I get that we have to start to try to live within our means, but this is not the way to achieve it by threatening to not raise the credit limit.
I'm sorry. The Republicans are drama queens, Ali Belshi. I like my analogy. It's like every family discussion about whether to go to Arby's or McDonald's. It's the Molotov cocktails and weapons, and you're like, oh, honey, do we have to? Can we just make a decision and just move forward? Yeah, it just becomes, that's the thing, it becomes a hostage crisis. It becomes like, you know, they have demands. And it's like, since when is the full faith and credit of the United States of America a bargaining chip?
That's exactly right. And that is very, I mean, again, this has consequences that go well beyond our borders. And we have to think about that because it's not the same world it used to be where America could make its decisions independent of what the rest of the world thinks. At this point, we're not in that position.
Ha ha, Christine Romans. Ha ha. I got him. So I dragged him into politics. Allie, I do have to ask you, though. I mean, these polls are pretty lopsided. You know, when you look at 80% of Americans don't want cuts in Medicare, 70% of Tea Partiers don't want cuts in the Paul Ryan plan, essentially, and what is it, 70-something percent of Americans think we ought to tax the top 1% in order to close...
I just saw one this morning that says 43% of Americans aren't sure of where Donald Trump was born.
I'm going to let you end with a joke.
Or where his hair was born. That's a whole different separate birth certificate.
But, Allie, all I'm saying is, I mean, really, these, you know, the polls are clearly showing they are rejecting Paul Ryan and the Republicans' plan.
Yeah, the problem is people get a little schizophrenic about it. Then they say, you know, huge number of people say they want to balance the budget and they want to cut the deficit and cut the debt. I think people have to understand entirely what this takes. And what it's going to take is it's going to take a little bit of pain, and it is going to take tax increases, not decreases. So I do get very frustrated with people who say that we can cut spending and cut taxes and get ourselves out of this. Not possible.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? It's finally happening out here in California. You know, we had all these right-wing radio hosts threatening to, you know, get every legislator that votes for any kind of tax increase anywhere thrown out of office. And you know, the polls are showing that the Californians are finally saying, yeah, we got to pay a little more taxes to get out of this hole. It just isn't, you know.
And that's the one thing. I mean, as you know, I don't get dragged into politics, but I do tell people, if somebody tells you that they can cut your spending and cut your taxes and cut your deficit, they're simply lying to you.
Yeah, exactly. Allie Velshi, the bald prophet of doom from CNN. He is author of, Give Me My Money Back, Your Guide to Beating the Financial Crisis. Host, of course, of CNN's weekday show, CNN Newsroom, and host of Your Money. We love you, Allie.
My pleasure to be with you guys.
All right. See you next time. There he goes. Allie Velshi. Christine Roman. That's my most annoying voice.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I can still be a good wife.
Ask David Bender.
This song's about a hooker, though. It's about a whore.
This is my last Fleet
and
Week.
Your point is?
My last Fleet Week, 1992 in New York. Oh, those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sailors.
Did you turn them gay, too?
Mm-hmm.
Turn the entire Navy gay.
Yes. Aren't they already? Oh, I'm thinking of In the Navy. That's just a song. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. 24 minutes after the hour. Julie. It's like 4 seconds into it, it's gay, right?
Yeah.
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 It's like name that gay tune.
This is our gay song. Whenever we talk about gay things, this is what we play.
It's just, how can clapping sound gay? But it does. I don't know what that is. Julie in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. I've been pondering a few things about the president's birth certificate. One, maybe when they smuggled him over here many moons ago from his native land of Kenya, they should have named him something less Muslim like Billy Bob or Jimmy John. Yeah. And also, can nobody from Hawaii ever run for president because of the birth certificate problem?
Thank you. I just was thinking that, Julie. That, you know what? I'm going to give you a $50 Sherry Berry's gift certificate. How about that?
Aren't you wonderful?
Yes, I am. Thank you for noticing.
Aren't I wonderful?
All right. There you go. Rebecca, give her Sherry. Go to berries.com and type Stephanie in the box, won't you? They're delicious.
Yes.
No, I was just thinking that yesterday because I was reading this whole, would you like the fun facts about the actual birth records?
Sure.
May have been overlooked. But that's what I was thinking. I'm like going, this would mean no one from Hawaii can ever run for president. Because, as we've said many times, this is the birth certificate that Hawaii...
When you ask for your birth certificate...
This is the birth certificate from Hawaii.
Right. When you ask for your birth certificate, this is what they give you. And on the birth certificate itself, it says this is admissible in a court of law for proof of birth.
Yeah, you know, I rub my forehead like this. It's
how could you read through the
Okay. Lost in the renewed scrutiny into President Obama's birth records is the fact that anyone can walk into a Hawaii Vital Records office, wait in line behind couples getting marriage licenses, and open a baby blue government binder containing basic information about President Obama's birth. The name Barack Hussein Obama is seen Tuesday highlighted in a computer-generated birth index from 1960 to 1964 in a Hawaii state government binder held at the State Department of Health in Honolulu. So far this month, only the Associated Press and one other person has looked at this binder. Gee, Donald Trump's investigators aren't very good,
no,
are they?
They're a little slow.
They can't find Hawaii on a map.
You're fired.
Okay.
They're sunning themselves on Waikiki.
The whole planet is huge. It's a huge planet. How can you expect it to go all the way to Hawaii? That's like past the end of the earth.
I picture they're over there just getting a bunch of free lays. A bunch of free lays on Trump's dime. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at the records department, are they?
And then they got some flowers around the neck.
Hey!
Hey!
See what
you
did there? I kind of flipped it, so it sounded dirty.
A sex joke.
Okay, these... Those documents, of course, complement newspaper birth announcements published soon after his August 4th, 1961 birth and a certification of live birth released by the Obama campaign 3 years ago. The only type of birth certificate the state issues. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, what I said is the only type of birth certificate the state of Hawaii issues.
Well, why didn't you get a different one?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Why didn't you get a different one? Even Michelle
Bachman. Once again, I said the only.
I like that. Birth certificate yet.
Wait, let's do the birther skit again. I say that's the only kind of birth.
Why you got another one? Canyons, Mozambique.
Once again, the only type of birth certificate.
Dark flaring.
State of Hawaii issues. Once again, the only. Okay,
all right.
That's okay, thank you. All right. Okay, I just went a little too far there. Okay.
Shark meat jump.
Shark too far.
Nobody.
No.
Oh, by the way, the Department of Health spokesman said nobody has come in and said they're investigating for Donald Trump. Interesting. What the would-be sleuths won't find is Obama's, quote, long-form birth certificate that they keep asking for. A confidential one-page document containing his original birth records kept on file in the fourth floor of the Department of Health. Those original birth records typically include additional birth details, such as the hospital and delivering doctor, said Dr. Fukino, the state's former health director, who twice looked at and publicly confirmed Obama's original long-form birth records. But those documents are state government property that can't be released to anyone, even the president himself. Obama would be able to inspect his own birth records if he visited the health department in person, but original records of live birth are never released. Fukino said she is convinced the long-form document is authentic. She issued public statements in both 2008 and 2009 saying she had seen the original records. It is absolutely clear to me he was born here in Hawaii. It should not be an issue, she said to the Associated Press. Obama obtained a copy of his own certification of live birth and publicly released it, you see? The document is generated by computer based on original birth records on file with the state. Once again, Jim, my point is that that is the only type
but
of birth certificate.
Why did you get another one? Why didn't you get the long form one that's different and better?
I got nothing.
I will be over here pouring hot coffee into my genitalia while we take a break.
Ow.
Because I find it more enjoyable than talking about the birther issue.
That's hot in so many ways. Literally and figuratively.
Okay. You know, I think I'll, just for something more pleasurable, I'm going to listen to some Sarah Palin clips during the break.
Yeah.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's dumb. It is so addictive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Don't forget Rachel Maddow, MSNBC goddess, joins us Thursday in the first hour. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12 Rosemary in Illinois. Hi, Rosemary. Welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Yes.
Oh, welcome.
Yes. No, I'm always here, but you go ahead.
I know you are, and it makes me so happy. I love you, Stephanie, and I love Jim, but I have to tell you every time Chris laughs, I get a tingle right up my left leg.
Do you?
Oh,
dear.
Right leg.
Yeah.
Oh, and does that make for a great morning? I will stand nuts to butts in line in Chicago for a ticket to the Sexy Liberal Show.
Can you say that?
She said that on the show.
I said nuts and butts.
All right, you know what? Listen, you little potty mouth girl. You just wait there. We'll make an announcement as soon as we possibly can about Chicago, okay?
Well, I have to listen every morning so I can tingle.
I can tell you're just the filthy kind of little girl that will enjoy the Sexy Liberal Show.
Oh, yes, I will.
All right.
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
What a hussy coming on to Jim. Talking all potty mouth on my little...
I'll stand nuts to butts with you any day. I don't care if it's 70 below.
Whacker on Whacker. Whacker, I just met him. Hey. All right.
Wow.
That was odd. Okay. Speaking of Chris Matthews, I got to hear it again about Romney.
I think Mitt Romney's like the dog food the dog never wanted. No matter how much advertising and how good he looks, he doesn't like the taste of this dog food.
Jim writes, hi, Steph. I had a dog as a kid who refused to eat this one type of food that was some kind of meat patty that was soaked in water and served to Duffy, the dog.
Mm.
Prior to eating, poor Duffy would be bouncing up and down, drooly, clearly hungry. When we would put her dog dip food bowl down, this soaked meat patty, she would just put her snout inside the bowl and walk dejectedly away.
No.
Keep in mind, this dog had the habit of eating her own and still wouldn't touch this food. That would be like Republicans who voted for such incompetence as McCain and others, but they refused to warm up to Romney. Yeah, he's that soaked little meat patty that's just...
Who let the meat patties out?
Yeah.
There's like, Richard Quest on the television talking about the royal wedding. I knew it was about time.
Uh-huh.
Someone...
See, that's what we were talking about off the
yeah,
air.
Yeah, that was an off-air story. The
right.
The Quest in Central Park thing. That's not a...
I didn't say anything about it.
Okay.
He's just reporting.
He was, what was the incident, Chris? He was,
He was caught in Central Park soliciting sex with a rope around his willy.
That's what we do, you know. We British drink tea, stand around Hyde Park with ropes around our willies.
That's how William picked up Kate. Did
what?
You know that?
Dude.
Who hasn't done that?
Oh.
I'm sorry I brought it up, so to speak, as it were.
Oh.
In a matter of speaking.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Kids, hey, look.
Probably prefer no one remembered that little incident.
Yeah.
Wish Stephanie Miller hadn't brought that up, that unpleasantness. I was on a quest to make people forget that. Oh, dear. All right. Hey, looky here. Mama, as you know, was just in Madison this last Saturday. We gave some money to United to Wisconsin behind the recalls of Walker and the Republican 8. Woohoo! Looky here. Mama's future husband, Russ Feingold, tied with Scott Walker in a hypothetical recall.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a slim majority does not support a recall right now of Walker, slim majority, unless Russ Feingold is offered up as the challenger.
Interesting.
Yes, and then they're tied 48%. Interesting.
Hmm.
Walker's the wanker. His approval rating deep underwater, according to several polls. I did. We did talk on Saturday night about his complete weird lack of facial expression of any kind.
Yeah.
And what I realized it reminded me of is that, like, someone shook an Etch-a-Sketch and then just forgot to write anything else. Just kind of...
Wow.
Just, you know.
Blank.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he has that Steve Doocy look, Jim, that we've speculated against. Like, someone hit him with a plank, like, seconds before he went on TV. Like, he...
What happened?
Little, and Governor Walker coming to you. Governor Walker coming to you in 3, 2...
Hi. Why am I here? Oh, bright lights. Hi.
Yeah, he looks a little... Just a stunned. Little, little
stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned.
A little stunned. Just a little, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, his approval rating obviously deep underwater. They just, as you know, they did a poll in March showing he would lose a hypothetical matchup with the guy that he just beat by 52% to 45%.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And meanwhile, he's crying about the recalls. He says, make it hard to get things done. Stop it.
God.
He's criticizing the wave of recalls in his state. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you overreach, wanker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said at some point, if you have a recall after every vote, no, not after every vote, just when you have a particularly ass-hatty douche nozzle who overreaches.
Yep.
At some point, if you have recall after every vote, you couldn't have this continuously one after another, and it makes it very hard in a republic for things to get done. Don't take my pinky. Whatever.
God, the Republicans are such whiners.
Whiny. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
You need to stop being noodlebacks.
Yeah, exactly. You need to take
off
your lace panties.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties,
Stop being noodleback.
I think wanker's also a noodle, but that's just me. Oh, kids, I don't know that for sure. Let's go.
That's why you were in Madison, to do research.
To find out. Karen in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm going to beat a dead horse again and go back to the birther issue.
Yes.
Cleaning out my drawers the other day, and I pulled out my daughter's birth certificate from Womack Army Hospital, issued by the federal government, and it says certificate of live birth, not birth certificate.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So the federal government, U.S. Army, doesn't issue birth certificates. They issue certificates of live birth.
Yes.
Live birth.
Right. Yes, I think as I explained to our teabagger friend over there, that is the only kind of birth certificate.
Yeah, well, I can't get the better kind. Get the one that's the real one. That's the better one that they won't reveal because it'll prove he was born in Kensistania.
I could do that skit all morning.
Kensistania?
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I'm following such interesting conversations today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Now, listen, I don't want you to tell all the Bertha crazies this because it would resolve the issue on top of all the other proof. But last January, Obama was called for jury duty, and it was a whole one-day story about he wasn't able to serve. And in the jury duty is only imposed upon citizens. It is considered the sole differential obligation between non-citizens and citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
yeah.
Your son, not the fact that his mother was American, born in Wichita, and that automatically makes him a citizen no matter where he was born.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the kind of certificate of death.
So unless
sorry, I outsourced your job, Jim.
Well, unless everyone wants to agree that Wichita, Kansas is not in the United States, yes. And those of us on the East Coast might be willing to stipulate.
Oh. What's the matter with Kansas? I don't know. All right. All right. Hey, kids.
What?
Looky here at this phenomenami. This is the Sexy Liberal Show, for heaven's sakes. Please, please, please bring the Sexy Liberal tour to Florida. I guarantee Florida and Lauderdale would sell out in minutes. We need you here. Jennifer, Steph, look at this. Steph, Steve, the official gay pirate of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Arr. Fabulous. Arr,
hey,
what
Steph.
A fabulous window treatment.
Arr. Is that up lighting?
I know you've been getting tons of email about your Sexy Liberal Show. I think you should come to Tampa, St. Pete. Both Hillsborough and Pinellas County voted for President Obama when Governor Skeletor, oh, he does look like Skeletor.
Yeah.
Was running against Alex Sink. We all voted for Alex Sink. Stephen, the official. Huh? Uh-huh. Well, South Florida. My goodness, that's interesting how many, what amazing demand there is in South Florida. Where we once had a very successful show on station in
what
Miami
happened?
That was replaced by sports that registered zero in the latest book. Some enterprising radio executive might think this might be a good idea.
There might be a hole in the market that needs filling.
A hole! If we're anything, we're hole fillers. That's,
that's
am I right,
what
Jim?
We do. That's
yes.
Our bag.
That's our bag.
In so many ways. Me and Jim and the show.
And of course you're Richard Quest. And he stands around with his pants around your ankles with a rope around your wheelie.
Stop it!
Ray, Steph, Chris, Jim, I'm a South Florida liberal radio refugee. Thank goodness for my StephCast subscription for it. For weeks after you're replaced by a sports station that no one listens to.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. The
That's
sound of your podcast
right there.
Playing on my brown delivery truck got a lot of reaction from many people on my route. Even strangers would come up to me and say, hey, is that Stephanie Miller?
Oh, wow.
What station is she on now? And some would just shake their heads in sadness at the loss of a great morning show in Progressive Talk Radio. You guys have been hinting at a showdown here. Please come on down. Alan West.
Yeah.
This is my congressman. Rick Scott's my governor. You know me and my liberal neighbors, and I lead somebody to cheer us up. Ray, we're working little sexy liberal elves. We're working on things.
In
we
their
are.
Hollow tree.
In their little hollow liberal tree. All right. Oh, wait. One more. I forgot. Oh, Steph, any chance you might come to Albuquerque or Santa Fe? What an interesting idea. You'd feel right at home here. I think Albuquerque is something like 90% lesbian and 3% of them get their abortions at Planned Parenthood. Or maybe 3% lesbian and 90% get abortions at Walgreens. Not intended to be a factual statement. Meh, doesn't really matter. Either way, we love you. Sincerely, Brock. All right.
Albuquerque is a lovely city.
It is indeed. Indeed.
I've only been by Albuquerque on the way to Santa Fe, as I recall. Never actually been in
it's Albuquerque. Beautiful.
Yeah, between left and Albuquerque.
David in Illinois. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. Got a birther issue?
Yeah. Yes. Well, say again?
I have a birther issue.
Oh, okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Actually, it's a non-issue, but recently had to get a birth certificate from my daughter who lives out of state, and I had to go to Peoria, Illinois, Peoria County Courthouse, and they're converting all their birth certificates to the computer. Well, guess what? When they do that, and you get a copy, every single one of them looks exactly like President Obama's because they're computerized birth certificates.
Isn't that interesting?
This is a non-issue. I'm sure this is going on all over the United States.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
And I shouldn't be telling you this. I need to be telling the Fox audience.
Yes, well, good luck.
That's where the birthers live.
Those conversations will go like the ones that Jim and I have been having all morning.
There's conspiracy to make it look like everyone's birth certificate is like that guy from Kansasstan who thinks he's the president.
Have you heard anybody make a credible explanation of how there would be a birth announcement in the newspaper?
No.
Okay. Well, they went in a time machine and saw that he was going to be president, so they went back and made the announcement, so it looked like that I got nothing.
Yeah, I think actually Trump did pull that one out of his ass. He was like, well, there's a lot of explanations for how what that could have the news.
There's lots of explanations.
But he didn't go on to mention
any.
Which
I can't document here because it's too complicated.
Still being investigated
and,
by
and you're too stupid to understand my reasoning.
So there's a lot of things.
And you're fired.
All right.
Did you know that Trump said that President Obama was unqualified to be an Ivy League student? That's rich.
Wow.
It's almost like you're implying that he's some sort of ridiculous blowhard that just says things to get attention. Yes.
The president has no class. I excrete class.
Gold-plated class.
Gold-plated class.
Gold-plated class. Look in the toilet bowl. There's some class right there.
I bet he does gold-plate them.
Yeah.
And put his name on them. That's someone's job.
Go in Trump showers.
Go. Oh, dude.
Get in here and gold-plate that and write Trump on it. Do it.
You're fired. And Trump in big capital letters.
However long it takes you to get the letters just right, you stay in there. 46. Now I'm doing Chris Christie. Where did that accent come from?
I don't know.
46.
Oh!
Oh! Boom! That vaporized into the company. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Let's do it.
Tonight's going to be an auto-tune tonight.
Well, yeah, the P's do their auto-tune thing.
Let's do it. 52 minutes.
They write a catchy song, though.
Yes, they do. I love it. 52 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks and Carrie Elleveld of The Advocate.
Yes. The Black Eyed Peas have said that they're retiring My Humps.
Oh!
They're not going to be performing that in concert anymore. They said it wasn't their best song lyrically.
Huh? I like My Humps.
Wow, that's a statement.
Like it. My lovely lady lumps. Check it out.
Check it out.
Okay.
My hump.
We'll still perform it here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we're not retiring it here?
No. What are you going to do with all that junk? Seriously.
All that junk inside your trunk.
I don't know. What's
going to do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'm going to get you drunk. Get you love jump off my humps. My humps.
Brilliant.
My lovely lady lumps.
Check it out.
Stephanie Miller.
What's
I think my London Bridge just went down.
What's not great about that?
First of all, she's thinking of the Tower Bridge. The London Bridge isn't like Havasu. Never mind.
I'm a person that hoards and saves. I forget now. It's the end of the show.
A hoarder.
Yeah, whatever. That's what I'm saying. So that song resonates with me. What are you going to do with all that junk in your trunk?
Can't spell hoarder without whore.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. Okay. Oh, by the way, Kim in Seattle agrees with me on the Cialis commercials. She said, Steph, what I find weirder than the walls melting away into a forest or beach is showing the husband helping the wife with chores. See? I had straight chicks backing me up. Hey, it doesn't happen.
I've washed dishes. Or, you know, rinse them and put them in the dishwasher.
Oh, see, that's what you call washing dishes. No, you don't. You just put them in the dishwasher.
No, I rinse them off first and scrape off all the dry cat food. Because we have 1,000 cats. And we have a lot of plates.
I can't remember the last time my husband held the laundry basket while I folded clothes. But then again, we don't own twin clawfoot bathtubs. Can not many people's lives resemble.
Especially in the middle of a field.
Honey, are you getting an erection? Did our kitchen just turn into a waterfall? Hmm?
Sploosh, sploosh,
sploosh. Sploosh, sploosh, sploosh. We stole that from Aisha Tyler.
That's right.
Funniest sound effect ever. Oh, she said when CNN calls and they need you to be there in 18 minutes to talk about something.
And she's been sitting in the bathtub masturbating.
She goes, I don't know. I'm in my bathtub masturbating. Yeah. I'll sploosh, do the best
sploosh,
I can.
Sploosh, sploosh. Is there video? We had a clip.
Yes.
Let's roll the clip.
All right. Chris in Yankton writes, Donald Trump's foreign policy is awesome. Tell OPEC to lower prices. Brilliant. So simple yet so elegant. He must have gone to the John McCain School of Foreign Policy. Remember when McCain said he'd tell the Israelis and Palestinians to cut the crap?
Yeah.
Cut the crap.
Cut the crap. Get off each other's lawns. Yeah, that old little solve that, Grampy. It's ambulous. Oh, gosh, Jim, I miss the Army of Dick. I don't know about you. He still thinks it's big, his Army of Dick.
Dick Army.
But it's not the Tea Party.
Yeah. The national momentum is there for it. And these folks in Congress today, whether they be Republican or Democrat, are acutely aware of the important, powerful impact large numbers of swing voters that are so concerned about the national debt will make in the next election.
Didn't that sound like somebody put your elbow on the turntable? I don't know what happened there.
I wonder if he's having health issues.
Gee, I hope not. All right. Speaking of teabaggers... Let's have a frothy mix of Santorum, shall we? Rick Santorum.
You know, the reaction out there is one that I think people are looking for, a true conservative, someone who's authentic, someone they can trust, someone who's been there to, stand up to to the forces, both within the Republican Party as well as those on the other side. I think I have a pretty good track record of doing that, and, I'm getting a lot of positive response as a result.
Ah, sure, yes. It's a groundswell you're feeling Santorum.
He's going to meet the same fate as Haley Barbour.
Mm-hmm. We can't just be about dollars and cents. The Republican Party can't be just about money. There's more to people's lives than money.
Not just
character,
greed.
And values and virtues. And what kind of society our children are going to be living in. Mm. Those are the kinds of things that I think are important to talk about.
Well, that's why Donald Trump is perfect. He's got both. He's got money and morals and virtues out the yin-yang.
I excrete virtues. Got virtues coming out of my ass. Huge virtues.
Right. All right. Yes, I have been paying attention. Thank you, everybody, that sent me these court battle between Mommy Juice and Mommy's Time Out wine. Rival wine sellers targeting overworked mothers are fighting for the use of the word mommy on their wine labels. Listen, Mama's Box Wine, I got there way before you slackers. In a suit filed in California, a California-based winery asked the court to declare its Mommy Juice does not violate the trademark of Mommy's Time Out, which is marketed by a New Jersey distributor. Mommy is a generic word they don't have a monopoly on. The front label of Mommy Juice features a drawing of a young woman juggling a house, a teddy bear, and a computer. The back label advises mom to tuck your kids into bed, sit down, have a glass of Mommy Juice. You deserve
mommy
it.
Mommy Juice.
Mm-hmm. In recent years, vintners have launched labels like Fat Bastard. That's for the hubby.
That's right.
Cleavage Creek, and a red wine featuring a rooster called Big Red Pecker, which I was not aware of that. Here's a rooster wine.
Really?
It's always Mama's Time Out.
Even rednecks got to drink wine.
All right, that's it for us. Don't forget Hal Sparks and Carrie Ellivelle tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Warden, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.